Your soul, amen. There's something wrong, amen. Your blesser must be broke. Well, take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of James, James chapter number 1. Look at just one verse this evening, James chapter number 1. We'll look at verse number 12 in just a minute or two. Again, let me just say thank you. We appreciate your prayers for Pleasure Island Bible Camp last week, and for us as we preached on Monday evening, and then for the souls, the four souls that were saved. And by the way, let me inform you of this. One of the people that we brought received Christ as her Savior that day. Amen. And a lot of prayer has gone in for this young lady over the past couple of years from some particular people. And she heard the clarion call to receive Christ, and she received him as her personal Savior. So we're thankful for that. Be praying for us again as we bring the teenagers. And again, the truth is the world offers so much distraction, not only with social media, but friends and sports and family and school and everything that's coming up. You pray that these teens that we're bringing down and others that are coming to camp as well will be open to receive whatever God has for them. We'll stand and read in just a moment or two, James chapter number 1, but as you are turning there, I like to read Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. The Bible said, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily and follow me." This is the sixth message from the book of James. And I want us to think on this thought, trading our cross for a crown. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read James chapter 1 and verse 12, and then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. James 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Father, again we come before you this morning, Father, a needy people. I'm a needy pastor. There are needy people in the pew this evening, Father. Some perhaps need to be saved. Some need to be challenged with the Word of God. Help us, Father, as we look at this verse 12 and have an understanding that one day we're going to trade our cross for a crown. So, Father, save the lost. Strengthen your children. And, Father, we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. When James started to write this letter, he didn't address it to the sheltered people. Notice the Bible says he addressed it to those that are scattered people. He identified the recipients of this letter as those who had encountered and those that had experienced adversity that had come into their lives. The primary readers of this letter, as you already know and understand, were Jewish, and they were scattered at this point throughout the known world. They hadn't left their homes in search of a better job or perhaps in search of better living conditions, as Naomi did when her and her husband left Bethlehem. They left their homelands because of intense persecution that broke out against the Christian church there in Jerusalem. Christians were forced to leave their homes and flee to other towns and flee to all across the whole world. As a matter of fact, you don't have to turn there, but we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, "As for Saul, he made a havoc of the church, entering into every house, inhaling men and women, and committed them to prison." That verb havoc is a description of a wild animal mangling its prey. It's not just something that just disturbs someone. It really gives this idea of a wild, vicious animal mangling its prey, destroying its prey. And Paul vented his hatred of the church without mercy as he persecuted these early Christians. And just like an angry lion devouring his prey, Christians found themselves the victim of the Apostle Paul and Satan's attacks. As a matter of fact, you might be reminded in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And considering all the circumstances of the people that he's writing to in this short, a little but profound book, we understand this, that he's summing up everything that is already said about the believer and his trials. And so as we look here in this passage, we notice a couple of different things. Notice in verse number 12, if you're taking notes this evening, that James tells us, number one, don't let your trials defeat you. Don't let your trials defeat you. Notice what he said. Blessed is a man, notice the wording, that endureth temptations. As we've seen in the many past messages, when James speaks of temptation, he literally is not referring to temptation as we normally think of temptation, and that is as a solicitation to do evil. After speaking of divers temptations in verse number 1, we find in verse number 2 he's referring to the trying of your faith. But now in verse number 12, he uses this word temptation, and he refers to someone who has been tried. And the temptation that James refers to are the trials that believers face in this life. Notice carefully what he says about these trials. First of all, he speaks about the expectancy of our trials. As we already have stated in our previous messages, James makes it very abundantly clear that a believer can expect trials to come his way. Notice what he says again in verse number 12. Notice the wording. He says, when he is tried. It's not if he is tried, but once again, we see this word when. And James began this thought in verse number 2 by saying, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. At the very beginning of this chapter, he told us to expect trials that come into our life. As he closes out now this section about trials, he once again reminds us of the certainty of these trials that will come into our life. And James wants us to know that trials are unavoidable in our lives. And as we understood from the last message, it doesn't matter whether the person is rich or poor, understand this, trials are to be expected. They should be an expectancy of trials that come into our life. Well, we find that James speaks about the expectancy of trials, but notice, secondly, notice the endurance in trials. We find here that James literally is speaking of enduring the trials that come into our life. That word endureth speaks of standing firm or standing strong. The word is made up of a preposition that means under and a verb that means to abide or to stay. So in other words, under trials, we are to abide. We are to stay. We are not to give up. The word speaks of someone standing up in trials they face in their life. Instead of collapsing underneath those trials and away to those trials, James says, listen, that you ought to endure our trials. And James is telling us this, that regardless of how hard the trials are, regardless of how long these trials come into our life, we're not to let the trials defeat you. And as we speak those words and you hear those words, I wonder how many of us fold under trials. How many allow trials to defeat us and to display us with the glory of God Himself? And James says, do not let these trials defeat you. We're to stand firm. You and I ought to stand up under these trials. Let me illustrate it to you this way. The nickname of the state of North Carolina, in case you didn't know it, was the Tar Heel State. I only know that because of basketball and the Tar Heels and things like that. They're a great basketball powerhouse. But there's several explanations of why North Carolina is called the Tar Heel State. But it's commonly accepted that the nickname dates all the way back to the Civil War. And it seems that a very large group of Confederate soldiers retreating during a battle when the fighting got intense, when the fighting was the most fierce. And a lot of the Confederate Confederate soldiers left, but those that were from North Carolina were standing, still fighting all alone. And supposedly then, the North Carolina soldiers threatened to put tar, which is very plentiful in North Carolina, on the heels of those Confederate soldiers so they might stick better in the next fight. Henceforth the name, the Tar Heels. Amen. Well, the trials of our life aren't always easy to bear. They're not always easy to face, but we're encouraged to be like the Confederate soldiers from North Carolina with Tar Heels, to stick in the middle of the fight. And sometimes the load gets so heavy and the path seems long, but here we find James is telling us to stand firm, to hold on to the ground. We should never let our trials defeat us. We should never let our trials deflate us, because God will give us strength and grace that we need to stand firm. Turn in your Bibles very quickly to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Notice Isaiah chapter 41. God will give us the strength and the grace we need to stand firm during our trials. Notice what the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 41 in verse number 10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Understand this, that when you go through trials and temptations, as James speaks about here, listen, we can stick to it, not in our own might, not in our own power. The Bible says that I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I don't know about you, but there's nothing greater in all this universe or out of this universe than that sin. Then he says, "I will strengthen thee. I will help thee." So we have God himself making a promise. He said, "I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you." He said, "I'm going to uphold you." In other words, I'm going to hold you up in this fight that you're in. Let me ask you this evening, are you going through some kind of trial in your life right now? Do not let that trial defeat you. Let the Lord give you the strength to enable you to stand firm. Do not give up. Stand firm. Stand up under the trials that God has allowed you to go through. Well, when trading our cross for a crown, don't let your trials defeat you. But notice, secondly, don't let your trials discourage you. Oh boy. I think a lot of Baptists, we find ourselves in this category. If we don't find ourselves in the first category, oftentimes we find ourselves being discouraged. And as you look at verse 12, you not only see that we should stand up in our trials, but that we can do so with encouragement and, get this, joy in our heart. Notice the presence of rejoicing in trials this evening. We saw in verse number 2 that James tells us these words, "Count it all joy when we face trials." Understand this, that he's once again reminding you and I that the trials don't have to discourage us. These trials that we're in don't have to rob us of our joy. Listen, if Jesus gives us our joy, and we understand this, that no man can rob us of our joy, guess why we become discouraged? Because we give up the joy that Christ has given us. Notice that James begins in verse number 12. Notice the word in verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptations." That word "blessed" is the same word that the Lord Jesus Christ used in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 in verses 3 through 12. And to the Lord's 8 Beatitudes, we find that James adds another one. He says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." So just like the Old Testament counterpart, the word for blessed used here means to be happy. It means to be joyous. It means it gives this idea of being fortunate. It carries the idea of an inner joy and satisfaction. So James tells us that even when you and I are enduring our trials, we can be and should be filled with joy. So the next time your spouse is going through a trial, they're not filled with joy, just remember, hey, remember what the pastor said? Remember what James chapter 1 and verse 12 said? Hey, get some joy on your face, amen? And we'll see what happens. Let me know how that works out for you. Understand this, what's happening on the outside doesn't have to dictate what's happening on the inside. And so many times we're that way. We allow what's happening on the inside dictate what's happening on the outside. And that should not be the case. Despite our trials, we still can find joy and we still can find happiness. I know people in all my years of ministry who face deep and dark valleys, but through it all, they never, not one time, lost their joy. Trials don't have to mean that you lack joy in your life. And James tells us that you and I, we can be blessed or happy even though that you and I are going through trials. And I know what you may be thinking, well, Pastor, how can a person be happy? How can they have joy when they go through trials? Well, notice, secondly, we understand this, the promise of rewards for trials. And James tells us that one reason that as we go through trials that we can be happy is because of this promise. Notice what he says. He shall receive the crown of life. We're promised that one day we're going to trade our crosses in for a crown. And the crown that James is referring to in this passage is known as the victor's crown. It was a crown. It literally was a wreath or a garland that was placed on top of the head of an athlete in the Greek games in honor of their victory. And here in verses 2 and 3, we find James told us that we could count it all joy when we go through these various trials. Because we know at the end of our trials, they're producing God-desired results in the life of believers. Think about that for just a moment. And then James is telling us not to let our trials discourage us, because one day we'll be rewarded if we endure the trials that God allows to come into our life. Our crosses won't be without the crowns if we endure them victoriously. I love the story of missionary H.C. Morris and his wife. They returned back to the United States many, many years ago in the last century after 40 years of service in Africa. But you know what? I thought about our dear missionary here today. You know what? Her husband gave this testimony about his new wife. He said that she was called to Uganda, and she thought she was going to die in Uganda. So much so that she bought cemetery plot for her body there in Uganda. Either that or she was scared to death of being over there and was worried about it. But I like the former, amen, that she thought that, God, you called me to Uganda. I'm going to be here until you call me home, and I'm going to prepare my place for that. And so we find that Henry Morris is coming back. They aborted the ship that sailed them back to America. And on that same ship was President Theodore Roosevelt. He was just returning from a big hunting expedition. They sailed into New York Harbor. The president there was greeted in the harbor of New York with great clouds, thunderous applause. For the Morrisons, there was not one single person to greet them and welcome them home. Brother Morrison felt dejected. After all, he spent 4 decades in the Lord's service winning Africans to the Lord. So he thought to himself, the president returns home from a hunting trip and great crowds greet him with applause and fanfare. But I return home after giving my life for a greater cause than that. And there is no one to welcome me home. But then the Lord spoke to his heart and said this, but you're not truly home yet, amen. Here's the truth of the matter is, life down here may not be easy, But one day, we're going to pull in the heavens harbor, and then every trial will be worth it all. And then when we stand before Jesus Christ and we receive that victor's crown, that crown of life, one day we're going to trade our crosses in for a crown. Well, in trading our crosses for a crown, don't let your trials defeat you. Don't let your trials discourage you. But then notice lastly, don't let your trials distract you. Don't let your trials distract you. So James not only speaks of a person who endures trials and all that time remains happy in their trials, but he also speaks, and notice the words, them that love him. James described, first of all, this evening, a personal love for the Lord. The words are directed to them that love the Lord. The word he uses for love really conveys a deep love, a deep abiding love for someone. He's speaking of believers who possess a deep and abiding love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same word used to speak of God's love for you and I. Not only does he describe the love but as this, but notice he describes it as a perpetual love for the Lord. And the love here that James describes is a continual love. It's a perpetual kind of love. It's literally to those who are loving him. And here is someone who's gone through some great trials in their life and still loves the Lord. Amen. We all can think about in our mind right now, the Holy Spirit is putting someone in our mind that has gone through deep and abiding trials. And through it all, they still love the Lord. And here is someone who has gone through so many trials, but yet still loves the Lord. Trials haven't distracted them from their main calling of loving the Lord and winning people to Jesus Christ. And their eyes have never been taken off the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if that could be said about you and I. I wonder if we could say, Lord, I've been through a lot of trials in my life, but the truth of the matter is I continually and perpetually loved you. Not one time have I ever taken my eyes off you. Probably most Christians today cannot answer that in an affirmative way. Most of us probably at some time have become defeated and deflated when trials come into our life. But James says that count it all joy when you come into divers temptations. As we close tonight, for the Christian, trials are certain in your life. They are going to come. They have come. If you're in one now, guess what? God will bring you through it. But understand this, there's still one on the next horizon for you. But listen, we are not to be defeated in that. And James reminds us that the one who endures temptation is a blessed man. And that means we can stand firm even when the load is heavy, even when the road seems too hard for you and I. Do not let your trials defeat you, discourage you, or even distract you. Instead, let them drive you closer to the Lord. Have him deepen his love for him and strengthen your faith in the promises of God as he turns your crosses into crowns. And understand this, that the Bible says, blessed is the man that endure temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that loved him. Then if you're here this evening and do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, there's hope for you today. The same Jesus who gives believers strength is the same Savior who died for your sin, was buried, and rose again 3 days later in order that you might be saved. Life's trials are going to come to every person, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. But without Jesus Christ, understand this, there is no lasting peace. You have no eternal hope. There is no crown to come for you by enduring the trials that you go through in this life. So tonight, if perhaps perchance the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, Come to Jesus in faith and repentance. Trust him as your Lord and Savior, and he'll forgive your sin. He'll change your life and give you an everlasting life with him. Let's pray. Father,